Come and see, oh, lift your voice. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. Great to have you all with us. And just a few minutes ago, I just met this gentleman, Stephen Bell. Welcome. Good to have you.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. And now, Stephen, you're with us because you're with the organization, The Mustard Seed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe how long you've been there, and let's dig in a little bit.
Sure. And firstly, thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
Between one fern. This is great. As already said, I'm Stephen Bell. I'm the executive director and senior pastor of the Mustard Seed Street Church.
Okay.
We are currently in three different locations. We have the Hope Farm Healing Center that's up in Duncan. We have another location that's in Esquimalt. That's our Victoria Food Hub.
Okay.
And then our third location is right downtown on Queens Avenue in the poorest area of Victoria.
Wow. Yeah.
Well,
now, you're fairly new to Victoria.
6 months.
6 months.
Yes.
How are you finding it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. When I originally moved, I've been in Vancouver for 17 years,
okay.
And I thought that was slowing down from Toronto.
Oh.
Getting here, it's just
yes.
wonderful. Just mm-hmm. people show up at ish times,
okay.
which is lovely. But yeah, people are just very welcoming,
yeah.
and it's
cool.
almost like Victoria is the biggest small town I've ever been in.
Right, that's a good way of putting it.
But yeah, great partnerships with
with
churches here, great partnerships with other ministry units that are on the island.
Awesome.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there's these three different sort of centers. There's quite a scope. As you said, there's a church and then there's these other centers. Maybe talk a little bit about that. How does all of that play together?
Sure. So years ago, there was the founder, Gip Forrester. He had just a heart for the people who were on the street.
Okay.
What we knew is that we weren't going to be a shelter, but what we needed to do was still be able to proclaim the gospel while giving food to anybody who needs it.
Okay.
So you don't have to be on the street to come where we are, and that was one of Gip's major focuses. No, regardless, anyone can come.
Yeah.
From there, actually the city was a big fan of what we were doing and
okay.
was able to give us a lot of space and a lot of breathing room.
Nice.
Was able to help with some of the mortgage, all kinds of stuff. It
oh,
was
wow.
just really,
nice.
Really helpful. So in that area, we're able to do a lot of hospitality and immediate outreach to some of the poorest people in Victoria. At another location, again, we have the Victoria Food Hub, where at this time we are feeding approximately approximately 10% of Victoria and the Greater Victoria area. If we started counting all the tons of food that it's being
wow.
donated by all of the generous people
yeah.
Who are around, and always the answer is more, please.
Wow.
Because
wow.
especially during a time like this, lots of people are without jobs.
Yeah.
Lots of people are really feeling the crunch.
Hmm.
So right now, our numbers have gone way up.
Okay.
But we're still able to provide
yeah.
because of the generous contributions of people in Victoria and the surrounding area.
Wow. I'm sure people can hit your website to find out some of these details, but maybe give us the basic run of a week.
At the Mustard Seed.
Yeah,
sure.
What takes place?
That's great. That's a great question. So out front, we every morning set up at about 7 o'clock.
So is this on Queens?
This is on Queens
okay.
Avenue. Yes.
Yep.
So on Queens Avenue, we're able to set up at around 7 o'clock in the morning. After that, people just basically flock to our area. People are able to wait for the food bank that we have right there.
Okay.
We also have pastors and outreach workers who are constantly outside. Speaking with people, helping them get from not just their spiritual, but also from their social point A
yep.
to their spiritual and social point B.
Okay.
Also, at around, I'd say, around 8 o'clock, 8:30, somewhere around there, we start preparing for devotions where people are invited to come and, just experience a daily moment of inspiration found from the Holy Bible.
Okay.
After that, once again, we're back outside speaking with people. Some people are writing sermons. Other people are trying to run hospitality units. Other people are trying to go out to prisons that are in the local area that we
okay.
have connections with and trying to help people who are out there. There's a ministry that we're about to restart up now that COVID's getting close to the end
okay.
To connect with William Head Institution. Very, very excited about that.
Nice.
But then at the other places, we are just starting at 6 o'clock in the morning, we have directors who are ready and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, who are directing just 18-wheelers going everywhere for food wow. across the island. It's a wonderful thing to see. We also then, of course, have Hope Farm. Mm. And over at Hope Farm is another place we hope to be opening in around October.
Okay.
Reopen in October, right. And that's going to be a place for people who are looking for more direction post-90-day recovery.
Okay.
Very, very excited about to see what's been going on there.
Wow.
But in an average day, that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at doing.
That's amazing. Okay, so what I'm hearing is there's got to be a fairly big staff group.
Yes.
But I wonder, are there some volunteer gaps? Like you're talking about some things maybe starting up. How could people get involved if they wanted to volunteer?
Sure. So definitely the problem that we have right now is because of COVID, a lot of people have been afraid to volunteer
yep.
In a postal code
totally.
Like this. So what we're doing is saying to everyone, hey, you know what? We're almost at the end. This is the time to sign up. The fields are white right now, and we would love to be in partnership with your church, with your congregation, with your small group, or even if it's just you.
Yeah.
The only requirements we have is that you're double vaxxed and that you're willing to wear a mask.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's going to be able to be dropped pretty soon. We're hoping.
We're all hoping
yes, to hear something soon. We
yes.
are getting some good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go from there. But of course, please feel free to contact our volunteer coordinator. We can
yeah.
go from there.
Hit the website.
Yeah.
So prayer needs, what I'm hearing, are the ability for the opening up for volunteers to be able to lean back in.
Yes.
Hope Farm
yes.
For October. And William Head, am I right on that?
That sounds perfect, yeah.
yeah.
So those are the main pieces for this year. And
awesome.
Then again, just getting back into church revitalization and what
wow.
that looks like. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you guys thought of that, but that's a lot going on. Stephen, thank you so much. Great to have you in Victoria. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we look forward to continuing to partner with you. God bless.
God bless you.
Thanks everybody for being with us.
For you, so listen up. First off, we'd love to invite you to join us on Tuesday, March 15th at 7 p.m. for a day of fasting and prayer. Leading up to the day, we will give you lots of information on how you can join us for the fast portion. And then at 7 p.m. at our Wilkinson Road campus, we'll gather together to pray, to sing, and to seek God's face together. So I invite you to mark that day in your calendar. Join us and stay tuned for more information. We are so grateful to those of you who support SBC and our ministry financially throughout the year, and it is tax season. So if you are looking for your charitable donation tax receipt, those will be available as of Sunday, March 6th. We'll be distributing them primarily through email, but if we don't have your email or you have requested a physical copy, stop by our office during regular office hours to pick that up. And finally, wait. Nope, I just had two announcements actually, so I guess it was a couple, not a few. Well, enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll see you next time.
You know, you can't mix up that a few and a couple. A few is three, right? A few announcements, that was just a couple of them. But I'm glad that you picked up on it, and that means you're paying attention, so that's great. Well, welcome here. We're so glad that you all have joined us, whether you're here sitting in a seat or whether you're tuning in online. It is good to worship together on the traditional territories of the Wasanich and Lekwungen people. And I'm going to invite you guys to stand if you're in the room. And we're going to begin with just a call to worship prayer. So the prayer says this: Awesome and majestic God, your creative power, your glory and holiness were experienced by your people of old as clouds and fire guiding them to freedom. They believed that no one could see your face and live. How blessed, therefore, we are, for you have revealed your face to us in Jesus, the human face of your love. You also equip us for our journey through life by breathing new and everlasting life into our very beings through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we praise you and adore you, O God. May this time of worship and the service of our lives reveal our thanksgiving and our wonder that you should so care for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's sing the Lion and the Lamb together.
Kingdoms will bow down.
So you give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. I'll sing that again. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every. your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your living hope. Yes, your presence, Lord. I've tasted of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are. Your glory. sing those bridge words again one more time. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let's experience the glory of your goodness. Let's pray this together as we sing it. Let us become this is our prayer, that we would become more aware of your presence with us, because sometimes it can feel like you're far away or that you have left us or that you have deserted us, but your word clearly states that you will never leave us and you never forsake us. So God, in those times, would you make us more aware of your presence drawing near to us? And God, through that experience, would we truly learn and catch a glimpse of glory of your goodness. That it's not just that you do good things or you're a good God, but that you are goodness embodied, and all that you do is good and true and righteous and trustworthy. So God, we just give you glory. We give you praise. We worship you and we honor you. We pray these things in your powerful name. Amen. Awesome. Well, you may have a seat. And kids, it has been awesome worshiping and singing with you, but I'm going to send you to the back where Shyla is waiting for you, and she would love to take you upstairs to your program. You guys can continue to worship together there. And the rest of us, we're going to spend some time in some scripture and prayer. And so last Sunday actually marked the end of the season of Epiphany, which we had been in since following Christmas. But the season of Lent doesn't actually start until next week. And so in between these two seasons of Epiphany and Lent, we look at the transfiguration of Christ, and I think this is really interesting because the transfiguration is a moment where we see the theme of light from Epiphany alongside a nod towards Easter and the hope of the resurrection. So let's read this passage together out of Mark 9, starting at verse 2 until 10. So it says this: After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. I love that. Just a little confusion. What is that? What is he even talking about? We don't know. Such a cool vision and a story where Jesus really shows in some ways his true nature of being fully God. Up until this point, they've kind of mostly known that he's fully man with some authority and some power, obviously. But now they're catching a glimpse of him as God. And it's really interesting. Lindsay is going to be preaching here in a few moments, and in his sermon, he's going to be looking a little bit at the Trinity, which is God in three persons. We serve one God, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I just want to lead us in a time of prayer, praying to our triune God, so praying to each of the persons of God. And so I'm going to say a part, and it'll be on the screen. You can follow along if you like, or you can just listen, and then there'll be a line of response for you guys, and that line is just, we praise and worship you. So that's pretty simple. You guys got that? We praise and worship you? Give me some nods. Yep. Okay. Cool. Here we go. Let's pray together. Yeah, we have heard about you, God of all power. You made the world out of kindness, creating order out of confusion. You made each one of us in your own image. Your fingerprint is on every soul. So we praise you. We praise and worship you. We have heard about you, Jesus Christ. The carpenter who left his tools and trade, the poor man who made others rich, the healer who let himself be wounded, the criminal on whom the soldiers spat, not knowing they were fouling the face of God, the Savior who died and rose again. So we praise you. We praise and worship you. We have heard about you, Holy Spirit. You broke the bonds of every race and nation to let God speak in every tongue. You converted souls and emptied pockets. You showed how love made all things new and opened the doors to change and freedom. You have comforted the weary and brokenhearted. So we praise you. We praise and worship you. Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect unity, you are bringing about your kingdom. Transform our hearts and minds that we too may love and create like the Father, that we might serve and sacrifice like Jesus, and that we might heal and comfort by the power of your Spirit. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we praise you. We praise and worship you. Amen. Well, yeah, Lindsay, I'll invite you to come up. You'll notice that Steve is once again not with us. He is doing better, but still has a little bit of a road to the recovery of shingles. So, Lindsay, we're looking forward to what have for us.
Great. Thanks, Kim. Wow. Boy, some weeks more than others. Don't you just need what we just heard, what we just sang, what we just experienced together in this room, but also you at home in your living rooms, the presence of our God, the fullness of our God expressed to us through the Father and through the Son and through the Holy Spirit. So good, so good. So this past week has reminded us that as humans, we are inclined towards war. We're inclined towards clenching our fists, demanding our rights, declaring ourselves better, superior, more intelligent, that we understand more than others, and that it's our right to therefore impose that will upon others. We've seen it again this week through the unfolding in the Ukraine as Russia has invaded. This morning, I want to just take a moment together to pray with you, as I hope you have been praying, for a restraint against this domineering leadership and a turn from war towards peace and justice. Now, of course, our world, this, has been at war. This is just the most recent sort of news cycle item. Others have sort of, wars have sort of gone into the background. They've just sort of become a normative expression in different parts of the world. We know that God hears the cries of innocent sufferers. We believe that to be true. Maybe especially of those women and children who are most often among the greatest victims. We've seen it on the newscasts. As we were discussing this morning with a few people just before the service, in this age where we can see things just instantaneously, we've been brought right face on with what is taking place almost blow by blow. And so I would ask that you be in prayer, that we would pray against nationalistic aggression with all the abuse of power and self-justified violence that comes with that. That our God would be revealed to these men and women. This God who suffered at the hands of its own empire back in the day and has acted with the life-giving power of Jesus Christ, the Lord of life and of death. I would ask that we would be praying for, yes, the Ukrainian people, of course. But we need to be praying for the Russian people. We are called as Christ followers to be in prayer for our enemies. Who's your enemy in this? We should be praying for the leaders, for both the political and the military. We should be praying for the men and women who have the ears of these leaders. We should be praying for men and women and families that we've heard these, some of these amazing stories who are giving refuge for some of the surrounding nations that are blessing and caring for people. We should be praying for the Lord to have mercy. We should be praying as Jesus prayed, God, forgive them, for they do not understand what they are doing. Yeah. So let me lead you in a scripted prayer that I came across, as you have probably seen many through social media feeds and news broadcasts, etc. A prayer. Particular for this season. Please, let's pray together. O Lord Jesus, servant and master, bringer of peace and reconciliation, with deep sorrow and concern, we cry out to you for the beginnings of this war now occurring in the Ukraine. We long for you to arrest this violence and destruction and to bring this war to a just end. And for your protection for all innocent victims and even directly involved, and everyone, sorry, directly involved in the military action, both in the Ukraine and in Russia. Lord, have your mercy. Lord, I pray for the Russian people. God, might they know your presence. Might they be able to experience your peace, God, that you might have their ear. I pray for the political leaders of Russia, for the military leaders of Russia. God, that peace, your peace, might become the thing that matters most to them. Lord, I pray for the Ukrainian people. I pray for protection. I pray for your peace. Lord, I pray for more and more of those who would surround them and be places of refuge and comfort. And God, I would pray for us as a people. Lord, that we might
discover what it truly means to live as you did and to care so desperately and deeply for each and every individual, Lord. That we would know that each and every individual is created in your image and matters to you desperately. And so we pray your prayer as well. Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing. We are in, again, the middle of the kingdoms of this world being in conflict. And so we pray again, as was prayed earlier, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done, for your glory, for the good of the Ukrainians, for the good of the Russians. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a difficult season. It's difficult for me to stand here. I don't understand all that's going on. Do you? No, we don't. One thing that I do know is that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And yet, we do pray and we desperately want to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we will find ourselves in different moments and seasons grieving over what is taking place. Potentially becoming angry. And we see these kingdoms in conflict. And not only at the global sort of national-like levels, but we see it every day in our own individual lives. We see it in our families. We see it in our neighborhoods. We see it in our places of work. And you know, there's a few verses in James chapter 4 that, you know, when I used to read it, I used to, you know, probably think more about siblings and all that kind of thing. And then as I was reading it and considering it again this week, it just struck me that, yeah, it's true for siblings. It's also true for national leaders. And it says there, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You know, I used to think of that as a teenager, that was just me and my brother, you know, laying down a little bit. You know, and that was a little bit of hyperbole. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, these words are simple, but man, they are not simplistic. We wage war with one another. Why? Because we do not get what we desire. So whose kingdom is to come? How do we really sort of go through that? How do we think about that? And this truly is a question that's kind of asked of us, if you like, multiple times a day, regularly. Whose kingdom wins? A few weeks ago, I was speaking to you, and I was telling you about that old guy, Gamaliel, and I was suggesting it'd be a great name for you to name your child when you have it, and I doubt I'm going to get any takers. But do you remember Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5? Remember, he was the voice of reason? He was speaking to his peers, and there was some conflict taking place. There was some kingdom conflict taking place. Do you remember? The religious leaders were struggling because there was this upstart movement, you know, these people following Jesus, and they were starting to lose some of their sway, some of their power. And when people start to lose their power, they don't generally kind of settle in and become meek and mild and just sort of reflective. No, they generally power up, and that was what was starting to take place. And the new, you know, the early people were getting jailed, or the early Christ followers were getting jailed and all. And Gamaliel said, listen, I would suggest we just like put a pin in it just for a moment. And just settle in for a moment. Because men and women, if this is from God, we want to be on God's side, don't we? Then let's see what that looks like. What a wise word. I mean, This is possibly Gamaliel's livelihood as well that was at stake. Yet he was willing to go, I need to rethink this a little bit. Whose kingdom is going to come? In your expression and in your experience of life. I went on to share that other story. It was the story of, you know, the disciples, and Jesus was doing his thing and teaching and all that kind of stuff. And Peter and his boys were out fishing, and they remember professional fishermen. And they've been fishing, what, all day, all night, all that kind of stuff. And what had they got? The big goose egg. It was not happening. Fish were not biting. Bad day. Jesus comes along and he says, hey, I think you guys should go out there again and throw your nets on the other side of the boat. You know, and Peter's like, yeah. The other side of the boat, that'll trick the fish. Right? But a significant moment was there. Whose kingdom was going to come? Whose will was going to be done in that moment? Was Peter going to kind of, you know, bow up a little bit, power up and go, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? I'm the fisherman. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Other side of the boat. But because you say so, I will. You see, right in that moment is the turning point for whose kingdom is going to come. And we've got to consider that in our lives. And not just one day. This isn't just a one-day experience and decision. This is being asked of you and I multiple times a day. Constantly in our lives. It's not just sort of a starting out, oh yes, I will follow Jesus, his kingdom come, his will be done. Woo, good, signed, sealed, delivered. No, it's mid-season, it's next season, it's the end of the season, like some of the folks with gray hair like me are getting into, right? Like it's all seasons. Whose kingdom will come? I don't know about you, but I just needed these words this week. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, not just Victorians, not just Canadians, but Europeans, Africans, South Americans, Ukrainians, Russians, like all mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Listen, folks, we are going to face times of trouble. There are going to be dark times. We are humans. And we exercise our own power and authority over one another at all times, and it can escalate all the way to where nations are against nations. But it happens at the dining room table too. It happens across the neighborhood fence. It happens in the boardroom of your business. Whose kingdom will come? Who gets to say so? What does that look like? Where are you going to find life? That's the question. And you see, in order for us to personally and for us to collectively experience this, we need to hear the little directive in this amazing few verses here. And that directive is that it's in him that we find life. It's in him that the kingdom that we pray, that we sing about, will come. Again, you know, some verses that, I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, do you find it where things just sort of come more a little alive and have a little more of a weight to them? In Galatians chapter 5, there's some verses, and it's talking about, like, how do you live in him? How do you stay in him, if you like, so that you might find life, that you might experience the light that he has offered to all mankind? And I just want to read you these probably familiar verses. Starting in verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But not do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in life, in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other and end up in war. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, what is contrary to the kingdom of God. That's added. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another. They're different kingdoms clashing in your living room, in your boardroom, in your neighborhood, in, you know, the NATO and the G7 summits and all of these things. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now listen, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Are they? Paul thought so. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Oh, yeah, that stuff. I'm good. Debauchery. Nah, no problem. Idolatry and witchcraft? Likely not. Hatred? Discord? Jealousy? Fits of rage? Uh-oh. Selfish ambition? Dissensions? Factions? And envy and drunkenness and orgies? Oh, it's getting better again. I've never had an orgy. I think we're good, right? And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, will not live in the kingdom of God, will not experience his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Listen, we teach this to the kids, right? This is a kid's lesson. Stop it. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Do you need some forbearance in your life today? I do. Kindness. We need more of the Spirit's kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness. Good grief, do we need gentleness today? Self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other and going to war with one another in the boardrooms and in our national borders, in our marriages, in our neighborhoods. So what we're seeing here is we're seeing that there are kingdoms in conflict. Whose kingdom is going to come? Whose will is going to be done? And what we need is we need the light of Jesus. We need the light of the Father. We need the light of the Spirit to come and to dispel the darkness, to help us to live in the midst of the darkness. Because as I said earlier, we will face times, troubling times, I should say. Hebrews chapter 11 listed off a whole list of Christ followers, you know, those who are following God. And it said in there that they're great men and women of faith. And what's interesting in there is that some of them actually experienced the full-on deliverance, if you like, and clearly, you know, God's hand in delivering them and sort of, if you like, that kingdom come experience as they were in the middle of this. But then there were others who were just under it the whole time. And yet they never wavered. They trusted God in the midst of all. And God brought them a hope and a life that is only through the Spirit of God. Now, Paul had some interesting words in the book of Romans. And the book, Roman people were not generally big fans of Christianity and all that was starting to take place. They had their own kingdom, and they weren't thrilled with Jesus. And so there were many times that the early church people in Rome faced persecution and hardship for their faith. And near the end of this book, and often near the end of the book, there are these sort of summary statements and these just reminders of how you're going to be able to live in and experience these things. And this is a verse that we've shared many times here, verse 13 of chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we find life in him? How do we live in his kingdom? We live in his kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. These amazing life-altering statements by both John and Paul were not just a great plaque on the wall or to put them on some of your social feeds, but they're actually things that need to be absorbed in the very fabric of who and how you do life in order for them to be lived out in our day-to-day existence. You see, life in him, in Jesus, in his hope, is only experienced through the Spirit of God. It's the only way that it can be experienced. But it can only truly happen when we get tired of existing for our own kingdom agenda. Kim asked a great question at the end of her talk last week. Do you grieve? Are you tired? Or do you want more of God in your life? Are you at that point? Like, we see these wars and these things going on and we get angry and all, and I get all of that, but does that anger turn into, God, would you come? Would you come? We need your kingdom to come. And what, Lord, is my role in that? And how does that play out? As Steve said it, as we are longing for God to come in ways that we've never experienced before. Revival, he said it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the lives of Christ followers that results in the kingdom of God being manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Oswald Chambers says the only way we'll ever see the kingdom of God, you know, arrive and land and live in our worlds is when the Holy Spirit gets his way with us. The only way we're going to see his kingdom come will be by the presence, power, and moving of the Spirit of God. I think it might be appropriate for me to remind you just a little bit about the Spirit of God and his role in our lives. We worship him for sure. The Spirit of God is a part of the triune God. The Spirit indwells us as Christ followers, fills us, says it seals us. The Spirit of God is not just a force, you know, like Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever all those things are. I'm horrible at all the Star Wars and things. I'm sorry. Not just a force. No, a person knows us intimately. One who comes and who comforts, who does want to empower us and give us courage and strength, wants to actually give us self-discipline. Discernment and wisdom and conviction reminds us of the Father's way and his will and leads us and points us to Jesus. The Spirit of God wants to come and develop new character and virtue in his followers and to gift us in unique ways. The Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf and prays for us. This is just sort of touching on what the Spirit of God wants to do in and through us. And you see, what happens when the Spirit of God empowers us, when the Spirit of God moves in us, when the Spirit of God really does set in and we follow Him, we keep in step and we're compelled by the Spirit, what starts to happen is the enemies are prayed for. Clenched fists are opened and arms are extended. Generosity of spirit begins to win the day over turf defending. Husband and wives begin to be quick to listen and slow to slander and lash out. Humility begins to settle in where pride exhibited itself, I should say, in a sense of superiority over others. Men and women who are different than us are seen as equals. Past transgressions are owned up to, and forgiveness is sought. When the Spirit of God empowers us, indwells us, and starts moving in us, things begin to change. Some of you have noticed, depending on the color hue of your TV or those in the room, I'm wearing an orange shirt just to remind myself that we have a world of hurt in our world. There's a world of hurt elsewhere. There's a world of hurt here. When the Spirit of God starts to move and empower us, people begin to listen. People begin to repent. When people feel misrepresented, there's a humility that starts to come into a conversation. There's conciliatory expression that has started to become a part of the communication and the dialogue between warring, angry parties, to the point where love is truly shared and a life can be experienced together rather than at odds. It's girls and boys, young women around the world who are exploited by sexual deviance. They're being found and rescued and restored, and justice is being served. It's where siblings start to lay down their years of jabs and distrust and start to try to understand one another. It's when the addicted find freedom and release and victory. See, when the Spirit of God, when the kingdom of God comes, these are the things that we start to see happen. Shame is profoundly replaced with respect and honor and value. Men and women in positions of power or privilege or means, they start to realize that their position of power, privilege, and mean isn't for them. It's actually to help the marginalized and the weak. Jealousy and suspicion and envy is exchanged with, rejoicing with those who rejoice and celebrating with those who have celebration. It's mourning with those who mourn. It's being peacemaker, grace givers, joy bringers. These are the things of the kingdom and more. The dream of the Father, lived by Jesus, empowered by the Spirit. As we conclude this morning, I want to just read for you first a prayer that Paul had for the church in Ephesus. And it's in verses 14 to 19. And I'm just going to read it first of all. And then I'm just going to give you just a moment to just sort of settle in on it. And then I'm just going to pray it over us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Just take a moment to settle there. Lord, I join with Paul these words written hundreds of years ago, this prayer he prayed for his church family. I pray for our church family. For this reason, we kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand as we close by singing King of Kings. When we pray for the kingdom to come, this is the King who reigns over that kingdom. So let's sing Praise the Father, Praise the Son, Praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light. So from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. jewels, all of heaven held its breath. To the storms move for good, for the land conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. And the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born. So glad that you've been able to join us this morning for this time of worship. And if you're new, we would love to connect with you. Or if there's just you're a not a new person, but you just want to connect with us or let us know about an update in your life, please, there's a connect card in the seat in front of you if you're here in the room, or you can head to our website and there's a button there. We would love for you to fill that out, and you can place it in the basket at the back, which you can also put any offering that you've come prepared to give in there as well. And as always, we would love to pray with you. So if there's something that has just tweaked your heart or your spirit in today's service, or if there's someone that you would love to pray for, or you would just love prayer for yourself, please, we'll have people up at the front here. We would love to pray for you. And so thank you so much for joining us, for being the church together. I just want to close with this benediction that just says, let the majesty of the Father be the light by which you walk. The compassion of the Son be the love by which you walk. And the presence of the Spirit be the power by which you walk. So go in that power, and we'll see you next week.